Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Green Room Podcast. I'm Tony Paul with the Detroit News, joined by my colleague, the Michigan State beat writer, Matt Charbonneau. The Michigan State keeps on getting it done, coming off a 48-31 homecoming win over Western Kentucky, a 42-point first half with seven touchdowns, and Michigan State is now 5-0, looking pretty good on a lot of different aspects of the game. Obviously, you know, second half was kind of a dud yesterday, but when you score 42 points in the first half, I think the result is pretty much not in question, and certainly did what they needed to do, Matt, 5-0.
Yeah, and as Mel Tucker said, late Saturday night.
Oh my God, it wasn't that late. You're such a wonder.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'm tight.
It's a 7:30 kickoff. Come on. Big deal.
That's what fans, I'm surprised about you, but fans will like give us a hard time about complaining because when the game's done, they're done. But we're not done.
No.
So anyway,
you cover sports for a living. I think it'll be okay.
I know. We're never allowed to complain about our job.
Exactly.
Games. Whatever.
Exactly. You need to take after me. Very mild mannered, very easygoing. And just
who's
calm
there at 2:30
down.
In the morning with me? Come on.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, 48-31.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I was going to say, as Mel Tucker said, 5-0 is a good start, but what happens next is most important. But, you know, he has 2 weeks in a row said, sorry, I hope to get you out of here quick. Anyway, enough about that.
Lord almighty.
Boy, all I know is the next couple of weeks are at noon, and I couldn't be happier.
Yes, whatever we can do to make your life easier, Matt.
Objective
in life.
Big things happening. They gave us free hot dogs again at Michigan State. I know fans like to give us a hard time about apparently we live in, you know, all-you-can-eat buffet land, but whatever. Anyway.
Really quickly, we're taping this on Sunday just before the Lions game, and I heard some Lions writers bitching on Twitter that there's no food in the Soldier Field press box, so that's a little unusual. I'll let you bitch about that, but anyway.
I only complain if there's no coffee. That's it.
That's my limit. See, my complaint is when there's no Diet Coke. Like, that's why I hate going to Tiger games, because they're a damn Pepsi company, so there's only Diet Pepsi. Oh.
Same with Michigan State, pal. They're Pepsi.
Hated Diet Coke. Anyway. Let's move on. Big win.
So anyway, Michigan State.
Not a big win, but a convincing win.
Well, it was, you know, you kind of knew what was going to happen defensively. I mean, Michigan State's defense has done this all year. They're going to give up a bunch of yards, but, you know, they keep people out of the end zone for the most part, and they did that for the first half Saturday. You know, forced, three field goals? They were trading touchdowns for field goals, which is great. And, so, you know, Mel Tucker talked about that. 2 points are one thing. I mean, yards are one thing, but points are another. So, I mean, that Western Kentucky offense, people can, you know, look at Western Kentucky, the label, but that's, I mean, Baylor Zappi's a heck of a quarterback.
Well, they got a top 10 offense.
Yeah. I mean, so you knew there was going to be points. The key was Michigan State, in addition to those, you know, red zone stops and forcing those field goals, was offensively they got that rhythm back that they had kind of lost last week. So, obviously, it helps when Jaden Reed returns another punt for a touchdown to start the game. But even beyond that, you know, they got the running game going again a little bit. Kenneth Walker scored 3 touchdowns. Peyton Thorne looks good again. You know, both Jalen Naylor and Jaden Reed go over 100 yards. He had a couple drops in there. His numbers would have been even better. Still threw for 324, ran for a touchdown. So those are the positives coming out of this. You know, the second half was kind of a slog and whatever. You're just trying to get through it. But, you know, you look at the things like that, the offense kind of get going. The defense played well when it mattered for the most part. And those are the important things because, you know, now you hit the road for 2 in a row, Rutgers and Indiana. And, again, this is the Big Ten this year. I'm not sure we know for sure about any team out there in this damn conference. You know, I think Penn State's pretty good. I think Iowa's pretty good. beyond that, I'm not really sure what the hell to think. I mean,
I think Michigan's pretty good.
I think Michigan and Michigan State are both pretty good. That said, Michigan State could go win these next two games handily. They could go lose. I'm still so up in the air with some of these teams. You know, you thought Rutgers was pretty decent after the way they played Michigan, and then they just get manhandled by Ohio State. Not like Ohio State stinks, but I mean, it's just so odd. And I still think a lot of it is we were so skewed on our thoughts on teams coming into the year. And a lot of that was because last year was so goofy. So a lot of your preconceived notions are a little out of whack this year. So, you know, but still two games on the road coming up. But if you're Michigan State, just think about where they are. I mean,
I think they're going to be bowl eligible next week. Honest to God.
Yeah. They should be. Yeah.
Which is insane to think about where they came from. And it's just like, there's no area on this team where you're like, oh God, we're going to lose because of that unit. Like you've seen all three aspects have dazzling performances, particularly special teams. And I don't know why anyone's punting to Reed anymore. And I don't think he's going to get many more punts anymore. And by the way, that was another Australian punter. So put a little check mark on that. So Michigan State loves those. They love those Australian punters.
That was a 61-yard punt, though. I mean,
it was a good punt. It was a good punt and then 88 yards back or whatever it was. But you're seeing special plays there. I mean, Kenneth Walker continues to be a beast. I mean, the high step he did en route to that one touchdown yesterday, one of his three touchdowns. I mean, he just – every time you think that he won't surprise you, he does. Naylor and Thorne and the defense is what it is yesterday. They gave a bunch of yards, but you know what? The game was over at halftime, and most of those yards came in the second half. So, you know, it is what it is. But there's no area on this team where you look at a matchup and you go, oh, crap, that's going to cost them this week because they're not good. Yeah. I mean, they've got potential everywhere on the field. Whether that pans out to be, you know, 7-5 or 8-4 or 11-1. I mean, who knows? Yeah. But it's rare that you have a team, especially coming off several mediocre or subpar years, where you just look at the team and you're like, yeah, you know, they're good enough to win in that aspect and that aspect and that aspect.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's not like they're dominant in all those areas, but you're right. I don't think you look at one aspect and say, wow, they're screwed. I mean, defensively in they've given up a few big plays in the passing game, and the corners have been good at times and gotten beat a few times, but I kind of feel like that's a life for most cornerbacks, you know. Mm-hmm. There's certain times you'd like them to get off the field a little more on third down, but you're right, it's not like you look at that and think, wow, there's no way this defense competes this week. You know, we'll see going down the road, will you start to feel that way against Ohio State and however many weeks that is, I don't know. A lot of dependent Ohio State's doing too, but yeah, I mean, just to think where every aspect of this team is compared to a year ago. I mean, I think most people would have been happy with competitive, right? Even if they were 3-2 right now or 2-3, but you felt like you were in every game and you weren't getting overmatched. I think people would have felt good about that, but to see the jump they have made to not just being competitive, but being better. I mean, they've really been better than everybody they've played so far. Really in almost every aspect. I mean, yeah, you can look at passing yards for a couple of these quarterbacks has been more, but I mean, is anyone criticizing the way Peyton Thorne's playing? If they are, they're not paying attention. So you're right. I mean, I don't think there's a part of this team where you're sitting there going, boy, they really got to fix that. There's some depth issues right now, especially at linebacker. After you lose Cal Halliday I got to say, one of the most ridiculous targeting calls I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted about that. My opinion on this whole targeting thing is like, you know what?
Hold on.
They're never going to get it right either way.
No, I mean, before we get into
the ejection stuff needs to be discretionary.
Yeah, because that's the thing. That's what I was getting at, really. Yeah. You Chase Klein goes in the portal last week, and now you lose Cal Halliday for a half. You know, your depth is starting to become an issue there, at least for the short term.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a concern. I don't think it's huge, but it's something to think about. But
it just doesn't need to be. There are targeting out there that are grossly, you know, intentional. Okay. But the 98% of them are not. And this whole automatic ejection thing is just absurd. I mean, it needs to be discretionary. You know, you can't, it's not every thing is equal. Look, I understand, you know, there are certain guys, you know, they lead with the helmet, the crown or whatever, you know, it's a fast acting play. It is what it is. And, you know, they're clearly not trying to do any harm, and just to just automatically make it a blanket ejection is not right. It's just, it's the biggest flaw. One of the biggest flaws in college sports today, in college football today.
Yeah. I just, it's to me, it was one of those things where you watch, I can sometimes understand when a ref throws a flag in, you know, when it's happening real fast. And then when you look back at it, I just can't believe that was reviewed. I mean, it was stunning and upheld. We've watched that exact play in Michigan State games this year get overturned. I mean, it happened to Harold Joyner the first week of the season. He got lit up in the back of the head with a guy who hit him, didn't hit him with his helmet, but hit him right in the back of the head. Targeting was called. They reviewed it and overturned it. So it's like, I guess I'm, again, you're right. We're probably never going to get to a consensus on this stupid rule. Because there
the
are
thing is, clear, if the actual hit is discretionary, which it is because it's reviewed, then the ejection needs to be discretionary, because there are instances where there's just dirty play. And I get that, you know, but the vast, vast majority are not. I mean, it's a violent game. It's a fast acting game. I mean, there's sometimes that you just, there's no stopping it, you know, and it's not intentional. And if the hit's going to be in discretionary, then the ejection needs to be as well.
Right. And there's a lot of people asking about the Big Ten. Can they overturn? I'm trying to figure that out for sure today. Can the Big Ten come in and say, look, this dude, that shouldn't have happened, and he's not out the first half. I don't know if that's, and Mel Tucker didn't really know that last night. He was, obviously they send plays in, you know, all the time to get explanation on them and all that sort of stuff. But it's a little unclear right now whether the Big Ten can actually do that. I can't think of an instance in the past where they've overturned that and let a kid play. Usually it's more, hey, yeah, we probably shouldn't have made that call. But you know how that goes. It's like, sorry.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I just said it's precedent. You know, it's
I feel like that might be the most you get out of this.
It's like why they didn't overturn Armando Galarraga's perfect game, because it's precedent. You just don't, it just hasn't happened, and you're not going to do it.
But would you say in this case, maybe that's something conferences start to do? You can't take the penalty back and the kid's been ejected from the game. You can't go back and fix that. But can you say, look, if he's supposed to sit out the first half next week, we can maybe say we've reviewed it and it shouldn't have been, so he's not going to sit out the first half.
Oh, sure. You know what I mean? But they're not going to do that.
They're not right now, but I'm saying I think that's something maybe
down the road, sure.
Forward should say, hey, let's, you know, on Mondays, any of these targeting calls, we're going to review them and make sure they were good to go. And, you know, if they were legit, the kid still sits. But if not, you could have that ability to at least overturn that part of it. I don't know. I don't think that's the case right now, but it seems like something logical moving forward that conferences could do, but
we'll see. Yeah, there's nothing logical in college athletics, so I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But anyway, enough on that. You know, I think our most people probably are in lockstep with our opinion on targeting. I mean, it's just whatever. What else stood out? I mean, this is, I mean, who's going to win the Heisman? Is it going to be Walker? Is it going to be Reed?
Isn't it funny about Heisman? It's the same with rankings. It's like you got to get through a bunch of weeks of tearing down all the preseason predictions and expectations, because, you know, now you got all the names that were up on the favorite list. You're like, why are they still on the favorite list? You know, Spencer Rattler was still ready for the Oklahoma quarterback. It's like his own fans are cheering for his backup. So, you know, some of that's got to play out, and look, we'll see. I mean, but Kenneth Walker, obviously leading the country in rushing still. I'm not staring at the stats to know how many touchdowns he has right now, but
I think he's got 8 with 1 receiving.
He had 4 in the one, five, 3 last night. He's got more than that.
I thought he had 5 going into yesterday.
Really? That's all?
I think so. I think he's got 8.
What the hell do I know?
Oh, no, he had 6. He had 6. I don't remember. He's got 8 or 9. He's got a bunch. He's playing well. You know, he's just fun to watch. You just wonder, like, how a guy like that just falls into your lap, so to speak.
Well, that's true. And some of it's, you know, Wake Forest catching plenty of heat for letting the kid go, which they should, but they ran a, it's like they ran a totally different offense, more of that read option sort of stuff with the quarterback, which Michigan State doesn't do a lot of, a little bit. And that's, I don't think that's, it doesn't really fit Kenneth Walker, you know? Yeah. So it's, you can see like he didn't get a, you still wonder though, like, why didn't the guy get more carries there? He was splitting time with other guys. It's like, I don't understand it, you know? And it is a bizarre thing why he's not there, but is any Michigan State fan complaining at this point? I mean, holy moly.
Oh, no. Oh, no, they're not. No, of course not.
But yeah, I mean, so you take it and you run with it. I mean, considering where Michigan State's running game was last year and the upgrade they've made. So, I mean, you look at his numbers, you look at Jaden Reed, is just, I mean, that guy's a big play waiting to happen. Every time he touches the ball.
I don't know how you let him touch the ball. I'm stunned that anybody's punting the ball in bounds against Michigan State anymore.
The only way,
like, the whole Devin Hester thing, it's like, you know, when they just stopped. And I think you're getting to that point. I mean, I thought last week would have been the last time, you know.
The only time they punt to him now is if they miss kick it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like they're trying to kick it out of bounds and I screwed up and I kicked it down the center.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the only way. But I mean, honestly, that guy, every time he touches the ball, no matter what it is, you're thinking he could go the distance. Mm-hmm. And some people were a little nervous last night. He was walking a little funny but he played fine in the second half and he talked to us after. He seems fine. So,
yeah. Michigan State, of course, hadn't had a punt return for a touchdown in 10 years. Now they've got 2 in 2 weeks by Reed. Incredible stuff. Really, really incredible.
Doesn't this feel like more, though, of just get a game like, it's this weird night non-conference game. We know they're going to score points. Let's just win and get the hell out of here and get
I think it was a big win, though. I think the first half was a big statement for this team. I mean, they just came out and they just put their foot on their throat, because it was a potential, everyone was talking about a potential trap game, you know, with how Western Kentucky played against Indiana and their offense and everything like that. And Michigan State's offense is so terrible a week ago. And then they come out and just bam. I mean, it's over 5 minutes, 6 minutes into the game, seemingly. And I thought it was a big statement, not necessarily a big win, but just a resounding statement from Michigan State that, hey, we're undefeated and, you know, people still probably don't believe in us. So we're at least going to show you that we've got some talent here. And they did that right away. They put the game out of whack right away. And so good win.
It's interesting. You know. Yeah, you say that. I'm wondering when people start. What win does it take for people outside of this area?
Honestly, I think it's going to be being 7-0 going against Michigan. I think that's going to be when people take them seriously. I think that people respect them. No one's sitting there going, and I'm not going, they're a college football playoff contender right now. I mean, they got a long way to go for that.
Yeah.
And so it's just a varying degrees of belief. I mean, I believe they're a good team, because they are well-rounded. They have playmakers on offense, defense, and special teams. And when you do that, you've got a chance to win games. And they're undefeated, and they've won with defense, they've won with special teams, and they've won with offense. And so they've done it all different ways. And so, yeah.
Won on the road.
Yeah, they won on the road. I mean, who knows how good the Miami win is and when all the, But I'll tell you what, and Michigan might find this out this week. Nebraska, and we said this last week, they're not a terrible team.
No, they're not.
You know,
they're not. I know.
I mean, the way Michigan State won that game we talked about last week, you can check out that podcast if you want to go back and relive that misery. But they won.
Isn't it always misery relief?
Yeah, they won and they won ugly against Nebraska, but they found a way. And then Nebraska, I mean, they're just not. They're my, and I'll be interested to see how Michigan does against Nebraska this week. I'm not saying Nebraska's going to beat them, but I'll be interested to see. Michigan definitely impressed me against Wisconsin. Wasn't sure how that was going to be. Let's see. I would like to see them against Nebraska too. But I think 7-0 going into the Michigan game, then obviously it'll probably be a nationally televised game for the whole country to soak in. And I think that's when people are really going to open their eyes. And then if they were to be 7-0 and then beat Michigan, who the hell knows? There's not a game on their schedule I don't believe they cannot win. Of course, there's obviously many games that they could win and maybe, probably, or I mean, could lose and probably will lose. But if you would tell me at the beginning of the year when they're 0-0, I mean, there'd be, I'd look at 6-5, 6 games on the schedule where I'd say they can't win that game.
Right.
And now there's no games on the schedule that I say they can't win.
So. Yeah, I think I said that last week. I don't count them out of anything.
Not anymore.
You know, no. That doesn't mean I'm feeling like it's odds are that they win all those, but
no. I mean, I feel a lot better about 7-0 than I did a week ago.
Yeah.
Now,
that said, I feel a lot better about it with both teams.
Yeah. I agree.
They were able to throw the ball against Wisconsin, yeah. Something they haven't done. Right. Each team is kind of making that next step. You're like, okay, Michigan State had offensive problems. Well, they responded obviously on Saturday with that. Michigan was having trouble throwing the ball. They did that against Wisconsin on the road. I mean, it is kind of setting up. I'm trying to think, were they undefeated in 15 when they played each other?
I'm not sure. The one that stands out, and we talked about this, was 1999 was.
That's the one I remember
because that, there was a debate on would that be the biggest Michigan State Michigan game. I would argue that 99 was pretty close to the biggest ever. Michigan was not undefeated. They lost the season opener to Utah in 2015.
Oh, were they? But of course they were ranked higher because that's how that goes.
They were ranked like going into the Michigan State game. It was Michigan State was 7th and Michigan was 12th.
The other way around. Yeah. See, I'm such a cynic. What a jerk.
Yeah. So they weren't then, but that was probably the last big game where they both probably had playoff implications.
Yeah.
Obviously the playoff wasn't around in 99, but I still felt like 99 was the holy grail of this series as far as, the hype going into it. And I think that this would be right up there and probably because of the playoff implications, probably even bigger.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, just undefeated. I mean,
yeah.
Undefeated, but the other thing too, the interesting thing is expectations for both teams weren't very high.
No, they weren't.
It feels like it's come out of nowhere. So it's even more kind of exciting. Like, wow, yeah. We weren't counting on this, but holy crap, let's.
Yeah, I wonder what the rest of the country would feel like if these teams were in prime time, but national televised.
Well, I mean, they have been.
Sometimes when you got a matchup like that, unless it's like Auburn and Alabama or something, you just don't get. No one cares if it's so regionalized. But
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of – that's the thing. There's both schools have so much
alumni. No, I agree. I agree. But, I'm talking about, from a national audience. Like, people that are not affiliated with either school, how much are they interested?
So you're saying, we would tune into Alabama-Auburn as some Alabama fan. I'm going to watch Michigan State this week.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that kind of thing. Would they care? I just don't know, Maybe, just because they're two different teams. I think that's the beauty of this college football season is you're starting to see different teams that all of a sudden look like, okay, obviously Clemson's out of the mix. Ohio State's got to win out to get back into the mix. You're starting to see some different teams, and so maybe there will be some interest if they're both on.
One thing that doesn't change is the Pac-12 doing its best to play itself out of the playoff early.
Right.
Yeah. Oregon loses to Stanford and Cincinnati. Is this finally the year? Is this finally the group of five team makes it? I mean,
maybe.
The powers that be will do everything they can to justify it not being this year. But I don't know.
If there's a year, this will probably be it because, you got a lot of the old guard that's not going to be there. So, who knows? Maybe it'll come down to – wouldn't it be funny if it came down to Cincinnati and Michigan State, whether one of those two teams makes the playoffs?
Well, but it's funny. I say it. It could be this year with the Cincinnati because, the ACC is – I mean, you got to expect now at this point there's not going to be an ACC team in, right? I mean
– Probably not. Probably
and the Pac-12 is the Pac-12, and no one ever goes unbeaten out there because they can't get out of their own way. It just feels like this – of course, there's the whole SEC thinks they should put in all four teams, but
– Well, some years they make a strong case for that.
They do. I'm just saying this with all that happening, if you get two of the Power Five conferences playing their way out and Notre Dame as well, you've taken all those obstacles out of the way.
Yeah.
This could, I don't know if it sets up any better.
Cincinnati, Michigan State, first round college football playoff matchup. That would be fun.
That's why I want to get this damn
story. Decent storylines there, huh?
There would be a couple. Yeah. Let's get this thing expanded though. And that now that becomes like not crazy.
No.
Right? I mean,
no,
I
wait,
mean,
they got to get to 8. The problem is, when you get to 8, then when do you go to 16? Like, eventually you have to cut it off.
I don't always buy that. I'm like, you can still cut it. Like, everyone always says, like, the detractors, well, why don't you just, well, you just do this many?
Because
like,
what they do is they see the money, and then college football can't freaking help itself.
They can't help itself. Crap load of money.
It doesn't matter. They want more. They always want more.
And they've so at least been... They've been holding off on basketball for a little bit. Everyone, why not go to 128?
Oh,
well,
why don't you
just make it like a high school tournament? Everybody's eligible. I mean,
but colleges, you know, especially with football, and I just think they won't be able to help themselves if they go.
I don't know.
I hope they do go to 8 eventually. But anyway, look, we're a long way away from that. The point is that we got off sidetracked a little bit.
We're in a Michigan State podcast in 2021 talking playoffs. I know.
Look, 7-0 for both of these teams is pretty realistic going into their Halloween Eve matchup. I'll be interested. You know, last week I said I think you should make it up
for that game. I think you should travel to East Lansing.
Maybe I will. By the way, we're taping this on Sunday afternoon. Michigan State is up to number 11 in the national. This is the coaches poll. This is the coach's poll.
Wait, they're to what?
11. Michigan State is 11th, and Michigan is 8th.
Look how many teams lost.
That's the thing. You got Oklahoma going down a spot, even though they didn't lose, they go down a spot. But then Oregon loses, they go down 6 spots. Notre Dame loses, they go down 6 spots. Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida all lose. They go down 5, 5, and 9 spots. Clemson is down again. Wow, 11th in the country. Pretty crazy. It goes Alabama, Georgia, Iowa, Penn State, Oklahoma, Cincinnati, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, BYU, and Michigan State are the top 11 teams in the country right now, according to the coaches poll. Michigan State is actually ahead of Oklahoma State, which is pretty good respect. Kentucky, by the way, beat Florida, and so they're up to number 14. And then
were they even ranked last week?
They were 23rd. Okay. They're undefeated. And then Coastal Carolina undefeated. They're up to 15.
I actually drove by their stadium this summer. I don't know why that matters. I was just like, oh, hey, look there. There's their stadium. Anyway, see ya.
Also of note, Wake Forest could have been Kenny Walker's home, is 5-0 without him. And so,
see, they can say, see, we didn't need him anyway.
Exactly. So that's where you got. By the way, Western Michigan with a couple of votes after their win over Buffalo. They're 4-1. Number 11 for Michigan State, number 8 for Michigan. So obviously both are gonna be, if both are 7-0, that could be a top 10 matchup. Who knows? It could be. I mean, if they're both 7-0, it could very well, depending on what happens ahead of them, could be a top 5 matchup.
Let's not get crazy.
I know. I'm just saying. Who knows? When we talked last week, I thought, you know, I want one of these games. They're just not going to do it. You know, we thought Western Kentucky might be a trap game at Rutgers, at Indiana. Well, now I think they're going to be 7-0. I think Michigan's going to be 7-0 as well. And these are always fun when they meet undefeated. It makes for a very fun, busy week. So who knows? Maybe I will make a cameo up in East Lansing.
I think it's required, especially if they're 7-0. I'll even come pick you up.
Maybe. I don't know if I'm allowed on that campus anymore. So
come on, let me in. They'll let you in.
Yeah, I don't know. I always say that two moves ago, I lost my degree, my framed picture degree.
Well,
I've gone online to like look into a replacement or whatever, and I just feel like if I sign up for one, they're just not going to send it to me.
I'll make sure the softball coach isn't there for tonight.
Whatever. You know, no softball coaches in the state like me. I don't get it, but whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
It's almost like, else? You know what's crazy about this season? You know when it's crazy is Michigan State has started basketball practice and had an open scrimmage Saturday and hardly anyone's talking about it.
I know. Remarkable. I know. You wrote a story. I didn't read it. Didn't care.
Oh, come on.
Didn't care, pal. I'm sorry. I mean,
there's a lot of things going on. Hey, remember Tyson Walker is going to be the man.
Blah, blah, blah. And another Walker. Michigan State Athletics saved by the Walkers this year. Great media relations folks at Michigan State to put that together, you know, for you guys to, you know, get basketball in the paper as well. I have a hard time caring. It's just hard. I mean, I love college basketball,
I'm joking a little bit. I'm joking a little, but you know, whether football, regardless. I mean, basketball, who really is paying attention to early basketball practice?
I know.
Even when they're really good, it's like, okay, great. Let me know. You're going to play the champions in November. No, we'll pay
attention. Exactly. If Michigan State was 2-3 right now, then everyone would be ready for basketball season. But now,
and just so anyone who wasn't there, by the way, it was open mic night for Tom Izzo, apparently. They gave the guy a microphone, and that's
– yeah. He's normally so shy.
He thinks he's hilarious, I'm sure, but
yeah, Tom, you know, he's
and anyone who's going to get defensive, I say the same thing to Tom. So
yeah,
I like to give him a hard time. Anyway,
yeah. What else stood out? Any injuries to keep an eye on? Anything moving?
Let me
forward?
Think. Well, there was nothing big.
Portal?
Well, I should check. I actually said to myself, I need to check at some point here this afternoon. That'll be a regular occurrence as we move forward. I remember, you know, in the past summer you did it all the time, but
oh my god, no.
Now we have to do it again. But no, as of right now, no, I don't think there was no big injuries during the game. There was, you know, the usual, like Beasley didn't play, obviously. There's still no, I wouldn't expect him back for a while. Some people saying Michigan game possibly, but I think that's just guessing. Elijah Collins didn't play again. Those are the big ones probably. You know, Elijah's down there on the sidelines just hanging out, so I would suspect he's going to be back at some point here. So what week it is, I don't really know. But I think it would be nice to have him as a guy spelling Kenneth Walker. I mean, Jordan Simmons is doing fine, but, you know, I think having Elijah Collins there would help. But yeah, we'll see. But other than that, nothing real significant. If I'm forgetting, I don't think I am, but that's, yeah, they're relatively, quote unquote, relatively healthy right now.
Yeah.
That can change.
I mean, it's just that Kenneth Walker, Peyton Thorne, Jaden Reed, Jalen Naylor show. I mean, it's just fun. You know, it's just fun to watch. Give a little credit to, you know, we talked about the punter last week. You know, Matt Coughlin's quietly having a nice season too. So
he came, just tied the program record for career field goals, 71 with Brett Swenson.
Yeah. Well, Coughlin's been there, I think, 8 years. So he should have been closing in on this, I think. So
well,
how long
did
has he been there?
It's just his sixth year, but it was funny because last week Xavier Henderson is in the interview room and they said something about, you know, kicking the winning field goal. And he's like, well, I had confidence in Cox. I mean, he's been here 10 years.
Right. Seriously. I mean, he's been, I mean, shoot. I mean, it's like, you know, I think he took over for Paul Ehlinger. So
he might have.
Anyway. You know, just to quickly recap, solid. I mean, they came out yesterday and did right away what they had to do when a lot of people were thinking, okay, how's this one going to go? A little rough last week. They came out, they got the job done. Second half was it was what it is. You know, like the college kids, you know, you get bored. And, you know, I get it. You know, it is what it is. I'm sure they were trying a little bit of different personnel in the second half as well. So, you know,
Let me say this too. I was impressed by the crowd.
Honestly,
I thought night game into Western Kentucky was supposed to rain. I'm like, this crowd's going to stink.
This is why they make those games the homecoming games, because they know
it was pretty full. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't right to the, you know, there was certainly spots, but I'll tell you what, it was pretty good.
That's why they like to do these little non-conference things as the homecoming games, so you can get the crowd to stick around. And it was a nice little crowd. 48-31 Michigan State. They're 5-0. Again, for the first time since 2015. Something special year.
One more quick gripe. As I'm looking at the box score, time details. You know how long this game took?
How long did this game take?
3 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah. Well.
Oh my God.
When your two quarterbacks combine for 94 pass attempts, it's going to take a minute. Bailey Zappi. Zappi? Is it Zappi? Zappi? I don't know.
Zappi. I'm pretty sure Zappi. Is how they.
46.
That's how I was going.
I hope that guy iced his arm after that one. He's a. He might be at a pitch count limit. Good win. 48-31, 5-0. Next at Rutgers at noon on Saturday, and then at Indiana, noon on October 16th. They get that
watch up.
You know, they'll be undefeated. Go, then they'll have a bye game, and they'll. Do you like that? Do you like having a bye before Michigan? That's the question.
I like the bye where it is in the schedule. I mean, it's kind of
right. You know, yeah, I know. I think it's about halfway through, or pretty close. But having it before the Michigan game, you wonder whether that's a good thing or bad thing. Yeah, you could kind of
who knows
make the case either way. But
who knows? And a lot of it depends where you are physically at that point. Right. If you got guys that are banged up or whatever, regardless, it's probably a good time. I think it's better right there than early or too late if you've you know.
Right,
kind of in the middle is pretty good. So I,
if you had to pick a record for Michigan State at the end of the year, end of the regular season, what would it be?
Well, since I started with 6-6, I'm certainly going up from there. I mean, they got a. I mean, the schedule's not easy.
Nope.
But again, I still think they could. There's a chance of winning every game. I'm feeling like 9-3 is pretty reasonable now.
I was going to say
8-4 almost feels like a floor.
I was going to say 10-2.
Really? Okay.
Here's why. I think. I think the Michigan State game is going to be a good one, but I think they win the game. And I'm not a homer when it comes to these type of picks, but it's in East Lansing, and I have my doubts whether they're going. I still didn't see enough out of their passing game yesterday against Wisconsin, so I still have my doubts there. So I think because it's in East Lansing, I like Michigan State's running game a little bit more. I like Michigan State in that game. So 10-2 right now, I think is very doable. The crappy thing is it would be 10-0 and then you'd go 0-2 in the last two games. And that would be deflating. But you know what, from where you came from. But yeah, I think you're right. 8-4 is the floor. That is the floor.
Feels like it.
You cannot do, if you do worse than 8-4, that's a disappointment because the talent is there to do much better than 8-4. I think 9-3 would be if I were a Michigan State fan, which Lord knows I'm not. But if that was a Michigan State fan, I would be disappointed with anything worse than 9-3. I think 9-3 would be like the minimum at this point.
If you were 9-3, played Penn State and Ohio State tough. Of course, it then depends on what the other loss was.
Probably it would be
if that other loss is
right.
If that other loss is Michigan, you're probably bitter.
Right? Yeah. But you'd still be 9-3. But I think if I were a Michigan State fan, where you are now, I think that would be it. That would be the floor. I think you're right. Realistically, is 8-4. I don't think they can do worse than that. But if I were a fan, I would be very upset if it was less. If it was worse than 9-3.
I go back to my original predictions, which is probably not valid anymore. But I had the feeling they were going to beat Michigan and have a letdown at somewhere they shouldn't, like Purdue the next week.
Right. Yeah, possibly, but
you know. Purdue's not very good, but
that's what happened in 99.
Purdue was really good then though. That was the
They were, and so was Wisconsin. And then, and then they lost at Wisconsin too. And it was the Ron Dayne show. And then they were talking on the broadcast at Michigan broadcast yesterday about Ron Dayne. And I'm like, those words out of my head. All I heard that day was Ron Dayne. Oh my God. Good win for Michigan State. Michigan wins 38-17 over Wisconsin. Lots to like about that for the Wolverines. They're 5-0 as well. They play Nebraska and then they got their bye week after that. So, that's where we are. What's your Big Ten rankings, top five, really quick? Same as last
week. Same. They all went Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. Now, Penn State, Iowa this week. Penn State and Iowa.
Yeah,
that's a game. People, you wonder other fans. People be paying attention. Well, people in the Big Ten will.
Penn State will win. Penn State, Iowa just never.
They might not impress you. They haven't. Iowa hasn't lost since early last year.
I know. Well, last year was a weird year, but
it's funny. I said, I'm like, oh yeah, Penn State. I'm gonna pick up Penn State, and then I'm like, maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe
where is it at? Is it at Iowa?
It is at Iowa.
Well, who knows? I think Penn State.
Interesting,
but we'll see. You can check out the rest of Matt's power rankings, Big Ten power rankings at DetroitNews.com.
Oh, right. Hey, hold on.
What?
Hold on real quick.
I got to get off this damn thing.
So do I, but it made me think. I'm sure I've done it on this pod. I've been saying Maryland is a fraud. If anyone listens to me, that guy'd start throwing to the wrong team. And what happened when they played a decent team? They got trucked and two of his brothers throwing the ball all over the field to the wrong team. Anyway.
Yeah, it's just a public service announcement that Matt is not always wrong. Thank you for that, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not. You're right, because every once in a while.
You can check out all of his hot, accurate takes at DetroitNews.com. He's got the recap coming up on this past week's game and the look ahead to Rutgers. Also, check out Angelique's stuff. She's got Michigan, Wisconsin recap, and she's previewing the Nebraska game, which, again, watch out for that one. That'll be interesting. Nebraska's not as bad as people think.
Night game, I think.
Yeah. Watch out for that one. I'll be intrigued. But then again, I said I'd be intrigued by the Wisconsin game in Michigan just after after Mertz got hot and then went out with the injury. Michigan just rolled them. But anyway, so check out all that. You can check out Lojo and Neo and apparently our guest Michigan State columnist, Jerry Ahern. covering the night game last night at Michigan State. He's our sports editor, for those who didn't know, so check that out.
I had to sit by the boss all night long.
I know. Well, you know, I heard that, you know, he was just there to keep an eye on your expense account. So that's all I heard. Yeah. So keep an eye. We need receipts. You can follow Matt on Twitter, Matt Chabernet. You can follow me on Twitter, TonyPaul1984. That's it. This is Sunday. We'll be back next week to recap what I think will be another Michigan State win, but who knows?
We'll see.
Time to go, I guess, watch some Lions and be miserable. See ya.
See you later.